Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jacquemin. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Choir. Thank you, praise team. That was amazing. After three services, I can tell you today, they get better and better each service. And they were amazing to begin with. So that's an astounding accomplishment. Good morning to you and happy Founders Day to you. I am excited to be here with you this morning. By way of introduction this morning, just let me say my name is Matt Brogel. Thank you, Marty, for welcoming me here, allowing me to be here. Thank you, church, for allowing me back in the doors of Bayleaf Baptist Church. I am the son of Bud and Rose Brogel, the brother of Leanne and Sandy Edwards. I'm the husband of Lindsay Brogel. She's my beautiful wife. I'm so glad that my family's here today. I have four children, as Marty mentioned, Kenna, Finnegan, Gunner, and Duncan. Duncan's downstairs, or else he'd probably be up here on stage running with me. He is a great joy to me. All of them are. I'm the pastor of Eagle Springs Baptist Church, which is in Eagle Springs, North Carolina. Eagle Springs is the darkest place in North Carolina. It's a Googleable fact. In fact, if you want to see stars, that's where you should go, is Eagle Springs, North Carolina. You can see them quite beautifully, even from our backyard. I love Eagle Springs, and the people of Eagle Springs right now are praying for you this morning. You laughed, and you're going to need it. No, I'm so glad to be with you, and they told me I have to come back, and after this, I'm sure you will let them have me back, but I am so grateful to be with you here. I grew up at Bayleaf Baptist Church. I grew up here. I was involved in every activity you can be involved with here at the church by my parents. I was in children's choir, RAs, not GAs. I was in missions friends. I was in every conceivable activity, including youth group, and I loved my time here growing up at Bayleaf. My parents joined this church when I was 2 years old. We had a little bit less than 200 members here at this church at that time. We often worshiped in the chapel. I remember when we did the renovations on the sanctuary. I remember when we did the building of the Family Life Center. I was just a little kid, but I remember playing in the construction there. And I remember when we built the new fellowship or the new education building and tore down the old one. I remember I loved the exterior fire escape on the old education building. But I remember those things growing up here at the church. But the thing I remember most about the church was the people. You are a wonderful people, people who love the Lord. I remember, and I will leave people out inevitably, and I ask you to show some grace to me with regard to that. But, you know, I remember Wanda Johnson teaching me in missions friends growing up. She helped me as a small child to know the importance of memorizing scripture and singing spiritual songs. I remember walking in with my very first black eye from a school fight, and Jim Lohman met me at Wednesday night prayer meeting as I was coming through the line with my tray and said, "Man, I'd hate to see the other guy." Just encouraging me. I remember when I was acting up in youth group and in the Family Life Center, and Butch Graves kind of jerked me up and took me into the hall of the Family Life Center and said, "You need to choose if you're going to be a leader, whether you're going to lead people towards the Lord or away from Him." I remember facing Richard Tilley as I grew up, inviting me to co-teach their Sunday school class and showing me how to love others better. I was grateful for that opportunity. I taught the Bible for the very first time that I can remember in the chapel in there. And I had the opportunity last night to preach in it, and it's just a beautiful, you guys have done just an amazing job renovating it. It looks gorgeous, and I love what you guys are doing on Saturday nights. I also remember running away from this church in a very dark season of pride in my life, and people like Pastor Chad Hood and Pastor Marty reaching out to me without judgment, with kindness and graciousness, saying, "Come back. The Lord wants you here. We want you here. God is good, and he welcomes you." I remember the faithfulness of this church. I've been allowed to grow here, fail here. I've been allowed to learn here and develop in my relationship with Jesus Christ here. It's a beautiful and wonderful church. I stood here as a child to be dedicated to the Lord, to be baptized, to be sent through missions to the Middle East and to East Asia, and to be licensed for ministry here at this church. This will always be my home church. I can't remember my childhood without thinking about the walls of this place. But today I'd like to talk to you about foundations. It's Founders Day. And I thought about what to preach to you and prayed about what to preach to you today. I believe the Lord laid on my heart that we should talk about our shared foundations. I've shared some of mine, but I'd like to talk about the ones that we have in common. So if you would, turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of Hebrews. We'll be in chapter 12. If you don't have a copy of the Word of God, I believe there's some in the pews. You might have an app on your phone. If not, I will read it to you. If this is new to you, it's in the New Testament. If you go to the back of your Bible and start at Revelation and just start flipping to the left, you'll run into the book of Hebrews. Guys, we'll be in chapter 12. Now, leading up to this passage, the author has just run through in chapter 11 a list of heroes of the faith, of multiple generations of people who have sought to follow the Lord in faith. And as he has done that, we might be tempted to go, well, those are the people we're supposed to be like. But instead, I believe this text in chapter 12 will tell us what we're supposed to do with those heroes of the faith. That they all look to Christ, and Christ wants you to do the same now too. To look to him as the author and perfecter of your faith, that he is the hero of this text. So having said that, we're in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The New Testament is full of metaphors. Jesus used metaphors often when he taught, and this text is no different. The author of Hebrews, we don't know who it is. Some people say it's Luke. Some people say it's Paul. Some people say it's Apollos. The truth is, we don't know for sure who wrote it, but we do know it's God's Word. And that's the important thing. So when we can study it, we can learn from it, and we can grow in it. So as we look at our text, the very first thing we're told here as a metaphor is, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What does that look like, to run with endurance the race that is set before us? Well, friends, I thought about a story I had read about a long time ago. It's about a race. There's a grueling 543.7-mile race. It's an ultramarathon that takes place from Melbourne, Australia, to Sydney, Australia. 543.7-mile race. How many of you want to run that race? You're just like, man, I'm ready. I want to run that race. Not me. Well, in 1983, 150 people showed up to run that race. 150 people showed up in 1983 to run this ultra marathon. And as they did, there was a man named Cliff Young, who was a 61-year-old toothless potato farmer. He had overalls on and work boots. And he shows up and comes up to the registration desk and he says, I'd like to race. And they looked at him and said, yeah, okay. And they kind of laughed him off. And he said, no, I'm serious. I want to race today. They said, okay. So they gave him number 64. Everybody showed up in their wonderful race attire, their racing shoes on. They're ready to go. And as soon as they get up to the starting line, the gun goes off and everybody takes off running. Cliff Young just starts a slight little jog and everybody laughs. Well, they put this on national live television. Everybody was riveted to see this farmer out there just racing. Now, Cliff Young grew up on a farm. He was a shepherd by trade. He didn't have any horses, didn't have a four-wheel drive vehicle. So whenever the lightning or the storms would come in and they would scare his sheep, they would go scatter, and he would run for days to collect them. So he heads out in this race, and the race keeps going, and 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes later, Cliff Young crossed the finish line as the winner of the race. Now, that comes as a shock to some of you, and it came as a shock to me, too. He didn't win by a few seconds or even a few minutes. He won the race by 9 hours and 56 minutes. That is a big lead. See, everybody knew that in order to compete in this race, you ran for 18 hours straight and then you slept for six. And you competed that process for 5 days straight. Nobody told Cliff Young that. So he never stopped to sleep. He just kept running until he won. He didn't stop. He just kept running. Guys, I bring up that story to say the Christian life is one of endurance. You're all called to run a race. See, the reality for us is the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a lifelong pursuit of Jesus. You know, in a sprint, your speed is important, but in endurance, in a lifelong race, in a lifelong race, endurance is so important, and God calls you to endure and run the race for Him, with Him. The author of chapter 12 begins with the word therefore. I'll spare you any homiletical jokes about the word therefore. I'll just say that the author of Hebrews is using the word therefore as a way to hinge all of the heroes of chapter 11 and say, this is what they did to focus their eyes on Christ and run the race of faith. And now he's saying, now it's your turn. This is what you must do in order to run the race. This is what you must do to have a lifelong pursuit in faith. Not only that, he looks at it, he is looking at us through this text and saying, that was then, this is now. In this beautiful, beautiful way, he continues and says, the next metaphor, lay aside every hindrance. Reminds us that no athlete would ever run a race carrying weights. Have you ever seen a marathon where the runner gets up to the starting line and they've got 50-pound dumbbells in their hand? They might train that way, but they would never run the race that way. Is that true? That'd be crazy. In the same way, the scriptures are telling us here to lay aside every hindrance, to throw off all the sins, all the things that might be distracting you from your race, all the things that might slow you down or hold you back in the way that you run. God's word never says that sin will stop assaulting us or enticing us after conversion. Never says that. Sin is a real threat Christians must constantly contend with. But here we're told to throw it off. Jesus specifically says, he looks at us and says, hey guys, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. There are sins in your life that might be holding you back from running your race. God says, throw them out. Look, I know you walked in today with your own temptations, your own struggles, your own proclivities. I did too. None of us are exempt from temptation. None of us are exempt from sin. But we have a great Savior who offers forgiveness. We have a great Savior who offers us grace. We have a great Savior that says, run with me. But throw all that stuff out. Your past is not who you are. Your identity is in Christ. Let all your activity flow out of your identity. You know, I often tell the youth at our church to model the church at Ephesus. You guys are studying Acts. It's a wonderful book of the Bible. It's going to get to the story of the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus is remarkable because when they came to Christ, a lot of them were involved in pagan practices and in witchcraft. And when they came to Christ, they dragged their idols and their books of witchcraft and all their stuff into the middle of the street and set it on fire. The Bible tells us it was a great sum of money. And I tell our youth, metaphorically speaking, grab all of your sins, drag them in the street and set them on fire. Tell our church members the same. Drag all your sin in the street and set it on fire. Don't care that people find out what your sin is. Care that it's gone. Repent of it and find the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ so that you can run with Him. We're told we must run this race with endurance. In a typical race, guys, most of the people stand on the sidelines. They watch the race. They don't run it. But every Christian at the moment of salvation is given a number and put in the race. And you're not racing against the person to your left or the person to your right or anyone else. You're just racing towards the finish line with Jesus. You're not in competition. You're just running with the Lord. And he's running with you. You're never running alone. 1 Peter 1:5 even tells us that we only endure because we belong to him. Friends, that is very good news for weary souls. Because I might be tempted to think, I just can't do it another day. And he says, keep running. I'm running with you. We'll do it together. The author here goes on to tell us that there's a great cloud of witnesses. It's there in verse 2. I saw some of you keep looking down at your Bibles. I want to encourage you, keep doing that. This is God's word. It's infallible. I'm not. Keep looking at it. Be like the Bereans. Study the word. There's great truth in here. Just two verses, man, and there's so much here. We won't even get to all of it today, but in verse 1, it begins to talk about the great cloud of witnesses. What he's talking about is the Old Testament saints in chapter 11 that followed in faith. And the author just took us through this great list of people. And he says that we live the Christian life in view of those who have gone before us. Today is Founders Day. In that it is Founders Day, there are people that went before us. It's wonderful to look out and see so many faces that I recognize, to see some of you from Sunday school or from my childhood, and just see how many of you are still here, but I also look out and there are missing faces. And our text tells us that there is a great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us. And it's this beautiful picture that they're standing in a coliseum, they're standing in heaven, cheering us on as we run. To run the race in such a way that we might glorify God and that we might run with him and run in a way that is worthy of getting the victor's crown. You know, I imagine that it's somewhat like this. Imagine you and I were running a race right now. You would probably win. Imagine we were running this race and we see this finish line and we're running right towards and we're going as fast as we can and we cross that tape and I would probably, on the other side of it. But friends, I've been told in the word in the book of Isaiah that I will not grow weary when I get to heaven. There are no walkers in heaven. There are no canes in heaven. There's no diabetes medication in heaven. There are no glasses in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. There's just joy, unending joy. Nobody's tired. Nobody's weary. Everyone has unending joy in Christ as the light that we all bask in, right? And when I see that, and when I think about that, you know what I think? When he tells me to run the race, when I get to the end of it, I get to cross the finish line. And instead of clutching my knees and going, whoo, it's too much, I get to turn around and join the great cloud of witnesses that are running or looking at us and cheering us on. See, right now, Abraham is in heaven, and he is saying to me, run, Matt, run. Moses is saying, run, Matt, run. Ruth is saying to me, run, Matt. Esther, run, Matt. Rahab, run. And when God the Father looks down, he sees his son, and he says, run. That is encouraging to me, and I hope that's encouraging to you, that you don't run alone, even if you feel sometimes alone. There's an old blues song I used to listen to outside of Yancey's Jazz and Blues Cafe in downtown Raleigh. I wasn't old enough to go in, so I couldn't. So I would sit outside on a little table, and he used to say, this song used to play almost every week, every Friday night. You're not alone, so why are you lonely? The Holy Spirit goes with you everywhere you go. God tells you to run the race, run the race, run the race. Friends, you don't run alone. In fact, not only do you not run alone, he tells you where you're supposed to look, not back to the saints of chapter 11, but look at verse 2. He tells you where to look. He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Friends, he is the beginner and the finisher. What hope is there for those of us who can't seem to get their act together? I'll tell you. The author just took us through the catalog of the faithful in Hebrews 11. It begins with Abel and ends with those unnamed who were stoned, sawn in two, killed with the sword, and otherwise afflicted and mistreated. And at this point, we might assume that we might be told to look to that great host of witnesses and try to be like them. But Christianity is not a cult of hero worship. It's centered on the singularity of Jesus Christ. The church exists because Jesus died and rose again, and the only way to endure when you run this race is to fix your eyes on him as you run. These witnesses encourage us, but the one that keeps us in the race is Jesus Christ. Friend, if he saved you, If he was the beginner, you will finish the race. He will finish the race with you. When we look to Jesus, one of the things we see in verse 2 is that his pioneering and perfecting work of redemption has sustained him by the joy that was set before him. What God wants us to do when we look to Jesus is to become like him. He endured the cross for the joy set before him, and we should endure the hardships of our marathon of faith for the joy that is set before us too. The feelings, the sufferings, the problems you endure are not the end of you. You might get distracted by them, but God says, throw them off, fix your eyes. They are a part of the process, but they are not the destination, and they are not the goal. It's not if Jesus can do it, then so can you. It's not that. It's if Jesus has already done it for you, then look to him. Then look to him. Friends, I know there is a crowd this size. I know there are some here that likely don't know him. That you might not be running a race with him at all. Bayleaf has a rich 139-year history, local and international missions, engaging youth and children with the gospel, which I'm a byproduct of, powerful, authentic worship and biblical expository preaching, a history of people investing in the next generation, both near and far, for God's glory. Friend, who are you helping to run? And who are you inviting to run with you? Who do you know that's not running a race of faith at this point that you can look to and say, I've got my eyes fixed on Christ and I'm running the race with him. Come run with me. Fix your eyes there. Don't watch me, watch him and run with me. If you don't know Christ this morning, fix your eyes. Come run with us. You might have come today because you were invited. You might have come today because you heard there was free food. Yeah, I put my watch on the pulpit. You know what happens when a pastor puts his watch on the pulpit? Nothing. Nothing at all. That's the truth. Marty looked at me. I'm going to get a little shepherd's hook in a minute. No. Abraham didn't know he was going to be Abraham until he got to heaven, right? He had promises, but he didn't see the outworking of that faith until he got to heaven. You know, Rahab didn't know one of her descendants would be Jesus Christ until she got to heaven, right? Friend, you won't know your impact on this earth either. So stop where you are and invest where you are in the future. Invest in the people to your left, to the right. Invest in the children. Invest in the youth. Invest in the lost in the community. Invest here for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Invest overseas for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Invest in the future. It matters. It matters. Everyone in this room is here because someone before them developed something, invented something, persevered in something, or taught them something. Everyone in this room stands on the shoulders of someone else. But now it is our turn. Now it is our turn to provide shoulders that others can stand on. Just a few questions as we close. Are you running the race as one who has repented of your sins? Or are you a bystander in the race of faith? Jesus Christ, God incarnate, died for us to redeem us. Will you drop your sins and run with him? It's an important question. We all have to wrestle with it. Will you run with Christ, or will you stand on the sidelines? And secondly, if you're a believer this morning, how strong are your shoulders for others to stand on? Are you discipling others and investing in the next generation? Someone invested in you. Bayleaf, the key to laying aside weights like love for possessions or distractions and running through the tough experiences of life, the key to a 139-year-old church pressing on with strength and courage and hope, is to have our eyes fixed on the indescribable, unfailing Lord of joy at the end of the race. Fix your eyes, friends. Jesus despised the shame, wore the crown of thorns for our good and for his Father's glory. How can we despise the shame and get the crown? Fix our eyes
Run the race and remember the joy that is coming. Don't stop. Endurance wins the race. Jesus has already finished the work. He'll finish the race he began in you too. Now, if you don't know him, and some of you don't, I want to invite you to run with us. We've got our eyes fixed. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. And we want you to come with us. That's your choice. Will you repent of your sins today? You might know today. You might say to yourself, Matt, I don't know what the next step is. I feel the Lord working in me. I feel the Holy Spirit start pulling me. I don't know what I'm feeling inside, but I know it's different. What do I do? What is the next step? It's right down this aisle. I walked this aisle one time myself. I survived. You will too. Walk this aisle. Come talk to Pastor Marty. I'll be down here too. If you need somebody to pray with you, and we're here, we'd love to pray with you. If you don't know where the next steps are, but you know you need to take one, this is the best place to start. And Founders Day is the best place to have a foundation in Christ. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here this morning. I'm going to invite Pastor Andy to come up and lead us in our closing song, and I'm going to pray for us as we go out, or pray for us as we have our invitation. Father God, we know you're always at work. Lord, I pray today that you would work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, that you might guide and direct us. Lord, that you might lead us towards you. That you might help us to see that you and you alone are good. And that you and you alone are worthy of our worship, our praise. Help us to fix our eyes on you and run for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've heard the message. You've heard the invitation. Come run the race. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The greatest decision you ever make in your life. If you want to talk to a pastor about this or joining our church fellowship or just a need, a hurt that you're enduring right now, pastors are here along the front. You come. Let us pray with you.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.